Changing minds one thought at a time.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Change Your Minds Online Sunday Inspirational Call. How are you doing today, Jessica?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you, Akina. It's a beautiful evening here. I'm sitting outside on my deck, and I am so excited for what we're going to talk about tonight. How about you?
Yes, yes. You know, anytime we're talking about a powerful topic, you know, it truly excites me. And, you know, today is definitely powerful. We're going to be talking about from fearful to fearless. And we're going to be talking to a wonderful guest tonight. She is the Fear Whisperer. She's an author, speaker, coach, and singer-songwriter. And she's going to be telling us about how to go from fearful to fearless. So without further ado, I would love to introduce Ms. Creelan Peters. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on your show this evening.
Oh, it is our pleasure, Creelan. It is definitely our pleasure.
Well, great. So how does this work? What do you want to know about fear?
That is a great question. We want to know all about fear, right? So
all about it, yep.
Yes, all about it. So tell us about how you went from fearful to fearless.
Well, I think it's a journey, first, Akina. You know, we're all kind of on a journey. And, wow, my journey has been, you know, full of twists and turns and detours and back steps and forward steps, just like everybody else's out there. For me, I kind of started off with a situation in my childhood with parents who were both undiagnosed mentally ill, and then they treated that self-medicated with alcohol. So as you might imagine, I had a pretty chaotic upbringing. And that was really my first foray into how to be fearful and to really be in a state of confusion and wondering and worry and just not knowing what to expect. And as I got older, I was really drawn into figuring that out. And so I went into psychology and became a therapist and got some really great tools to use for clients. And along that journey also did a lot of personal growth and self-development along the way. So I've used all the tools that I use with my clients, I use with myself. So I know they've worked for me and they've worked for so many of my clients as well. So it's really about wanting to get out of that fearful place because it can be so stuck and paralyzing. But I believe we all have a voice inside us that we want to do better, we want to be better, and we're called to greatness. So that's just a little snippet of my journey.
Wow. Yes. I love that. Now, when you were in your fearful state, what was the trigger that made you decide that you wanted to be fearless? You know, because a lot of people go through the times and they say they want to do it, they don't want to feel this way, but they don't know what that trigger is, what that first step is. So can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, and I think it's different for every person, and it's also different along each journey. So, like, I'll give you an example. I was working as a therapist full-time and doing private practice work, and I also worked for an agency. And I really always knew that I wanted to work for myself. But, you know, quitting your job is a pretty scary thing. And for me, kind of the tipping point or the trigger point, as you said, was really, it came to my health was really suffering, both my physical health and my emotional health. And so I really had to examine that. And it wasn't an overnight process because some of us, you know, we look at people who've kind of gone to the other side and we go, oh, my gosh, it looks so easy. But those of us who are going through it, it's not just like, oh, my gosh, you know, one day I wake up and all of a sudden there's roses and gardens and flowers. You know, it just there's a process that goes with that. For me, it was really kind of the point where I was just like, I can't, staying here is more painful than the unknown. And I know that's the way it is for a lot of people. It's almost to the point where you get to, I can't do this any longer. I'm just at that point where I'm done with this. And most of us, we're so afraid of the unknown that we're willing to stay stuck in the crap that we're used to. It's kind of, you know, that saying that the devil you know is better than the one you don't. But for me, it was, I just got fed up, and I just knew that I needed to take a leap of faith. I'm a faith leaper. I've been one my whole life, and I knew that even though it was scary, I would end up on my feet. And sometimes I end up on my butt, and that's okay. I learn from those times as well. But for me, it was that I can't do this any longer. It was that voice in my head that just knew I cannot do this any longer.
Wow. Yes.
Yes. So now, you know, that's often a catalyst for so many people is people just say, like, I'm really ready for a change. And, you know, myself, I had a really kind of similar transformation where I picked up and changed my life. When we started this company, Changing Lives Online, it was really my point where I said, hey, I just can't do this anymore. I can't go about my life in this direction anymore. And then you get to the point where you keep going and keep going and you keep going, and you're not comfortable and you're not happy, but you're okay with it because it's what you know. And to some degree, it's serving you because it's reinforcing the stories that you've created about yourself that's causing you to be in that situation. And, you know, maybe you're getting sympathy or maybe you're being a victim or maybe people are doing things for you. You know, but like you said, at some point for everyone, you know, giving away your power, it just gets old. And you require this change. And like you said, it's really about taking that step and just recognizing that something needs to change and just making that change. Because some people, they want that change, they want that point. They think they can't keep going, but they don't really know or they're not ready to take that step.
Right, and there's so many different ways to look at it, too. I mean, you know, for me, for a long time, it was, how can I be okay being where I'm at? So, you know, sometimes people think that change has to be this big, scary, quit my job, you know, lose my house, really, really big event or series of events, but it doesn't. You know, it can be as simple as changing our mind, changing our perspective to be okay with where we're at now. And that's what I like to talk about when we talk about fear, because people get so, like, overwhelmed with the prospect of change. And it doesn't have to be as big a deal as we make it out in our heads. Usually what we make up in our head is much worse than anything that's ever going to really happen.
Yes, you know, when you talk about change, you know, I have always, since I was a small child, had a problem with change and the shift in change. Because, like you said, I had a fear of the unknown. And, you know, sometimes that has changed a lot of decisions that I may have needed to make, you know, or I went ahead and made the right decision, but I had so much stress behind it afterwards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it always ended up working out for the good, of course, but, you know, it's just the stress that you have to deal with as a non-change person in order to, you know, function. And I'm
right.
Sure you've had many people come in and talk about that. So what are your recommendations for someone who has a problem with change?
Well, you know, one of the things, Ikeena, is to really look at all the evidence. So how we come to our beliefs and our thought process is through evidence. So look at all the, you just said that you've landed out fine after all these changes that have happened. So look at that evidence. So a lot of times we get stuck on the negative stuff that happens, the what ifs. We worry ourselves into illness. We worry ourselves into stuckness and not making decisions. But on the flip side of that is look at all the evidence to support that you are fine when you make a decision. And I'm also going to challenge when you say make the right decision, and I'm going to put right in quotes. So imagine air quotes around the word right. Any decision we make is the right decision. So we're making decisions based on the information we have at that time. And what we get into is we get into that second guessing. Well, what if, you know, we did it this way and this is the right decision, this is the wrong decision. So any decision you make is the one that you make, and any decision you make, you're going to be fine. So then if we look at it that way, then we can also say any decision is the right decision.
Okay. All right. Now, I was looking, and of course, when I introduced you as the fear whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that entail? What is the fear whisperer?
Well, you know, I like to think that I help people tame their fear, and so that's kind of where that came from. A lot of people talk about how to get rid of fear, and that they don't want to deal with it, that they want to just go through life fearless. And the reason I put fear-less instead of one word fearless is because it's impossible to be completely rid of fear. So fear is something that is ingrained in us. It's in our DNA. We are genetically coded. It's a base emotion that's really there to protect us. So what I like to do is tell people that I help you change your relationship with fear, because as anyone who's been through a change, which, by the way, is every single person listening, you know that fear accompanies change, whether you have thought about it in that way or not. Every time we go to make a change, there is some fear involved, and that is a sign that something needs to change, or that we're about to change something. So if we can change our relationship to fear and not be afraid of change, but rather go, oh, I'm afraid, that must mean that I'm going through a change. So it's just kind of a signal rather than, if I kind of look at the, you know, a stop light. So we've got the red light, the green light, the yellow light. So a lot of us think of fear as the red light. We got to stop, and then we stay stuck. But if we can look at it as more of a yellow light, where it's just a warning, so we need to kind of slow down, take a look around, and ask, what is fear trying to tell us? So a lot of our old programming might be to keep us really safe, and that protected us before, but now we might not need that same type of protection. We might need to just slow down, take a look around, maybe do some course correction, maybe talk lovingly to ourselves. A lot of us get really hard on ourselves when we're going through change, like, I should be able to do this. You know, like the first time you do something, I should be perfect at this. It shouldn't be a problem at all. And yet, how silly is that? You know, we tell our kids, we tell our students, we tell our clients that, you know, that it's really helpful to have support through change, and yet, you know, sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, it's so scary, I don't want to do it. So it's almost like we got to take some of our own advice in that way, too.
You know, it's amazing that you talk about that, because, you know, fear does have in some sense benefits. And when I first started really my transformation journey, I got attached to the idea that I would have no fear. You know, I had started to really think that the opposite, fear was the opposite of love, that fear just wasn't real, that fear was something that, you know, was bad. And what was my goal was to eliminate all fear from my life. Now,
mm-hmm.
fear, it can be a positive thing, right? Because
mm-hmm.
oftentimes fear can be a really powerful motivator to change our lives. Like oftentimes, you know, we're fearful that a situation will end poorly, or you know, what we will judge to be poorly, and then we use that as a motivation to continue. Or, you know, we're afraid of failing, so we'll do even more success. Now, fear, it can be a positive motivator, but you know, the one thing I always like to say and to remind people is that fear is not real. Now, certainly our emotions are real, and our feelings are real, and situations may be real, but fear in and of itself, it's just not real. See, we're only afraid about something that hasn't happened yet. Right? We can't be afraid about something that has already happened. Once it's happened, we can either judge it to be good or bad, but we're no longer afraid of it. So
mm-hmm.
everything that we're afraid of is something that may happen in the future, but it also may not happen. And when it does happen, we may be afraid of how we're going to feel or what the response will be. but we don't even know that for sure. And maybe something we're afraid of actually will be really great for us. Maybe it's going to bring us in a really positive direction. So I often remind people that fear is not real. And the reason why I think that that's so important is that when you understand that you can that you're creating fear, not that you can create fear, but that you do create fear, that it's only an emotion, that it's something that you actually are creating, then it's powerful because you have the opportunity to either use it in a positive way, if it's applicable, or to change your story around it. You know, if you are creating fear and that fear is not serving you, then you can choose to create a different story. You know, and similarly, if you are creating fear and that is serving you because it's a powerful motivator and it's bringing you closer to your goals, then you might continue to have that fear. But there's a difference between a fear that is paralyzing and a fear that is you're sitting in every night and it's preventing you from sleeping, or, you know, it's causing your hormones to be out of balance, or it's causing you to react in ways you wouldn't want to, or it's distracting you or keeping you away from your goals. Obviously, that fear is not good. And the powerful part about that, and like I said, is remembering it's not real. And at any moment right now, you have access to creating a different story. Because if you're creating one story, you can create another story. What do you think of that?
No, I agree with that. I think we just use different language to explain that. I talk to people about the perceived threat. So fear is ingrained in our DNA. And, you know, our ancestors back in caveman days had that fear response as a way of survival, of physical survival, right? So if something was going to chase, a predator was chasing them, fear would kick in and the fight or flight response would kick in. Now, though, we don't have those physical threats nearly as much anymore. It's more the emotional threat. So, but our body doesn't know the difference. That's the thing that I tell people, is that it's that perceived threat. And so that it's just a little different spin on what you're saying, but it sounds like the exact same thing as far as, you know, it's in our minds. You know, we think that the fear, that the threat is real to our physical safety. That's what our body is afraid of, is physical danger. But it perceives that emotional threat in the same way.
Yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying there, and I do agree that there's our bodies do have this physical threat, or excuse me, these bodies do want to prevent ourselves from any form of physical threat. And, you know, it's really interesting because one of the things that I've experienced recently, and this may be kind of seem silly or maybe seem irrelevant, but it actually, for me, taught me a really powerful lesson. Now, I have actually adopted recently a bunny rabbit, and I got him. He was actually about to be euthanized and fed to snakes. I got him. I was at a pet store one day, and I was buying some pet food for some of my other pets, and I saw him, and he actually stood on his little feet, and he tapped on the cage with his paw, and I went over to him, and I asked to see him, which was my first mistake, but I asked to see him, and as soon as they took the lid off the cage, he just jumped into my arms, and it was love at first sight, and I took him home with me. But when I was taking him home, they had told me, you know what, this rabbit, he was going to be euthanized because of the fact that he had been returned twice from two different people. But they didn't want him. The last person to return him just left him in the parking lot. And they said, you know, you can take him home with you. Now, rabbits are prey animals. So they are, you know, often built in nature. There's lots of birds or whoever, foxes, that are trying to attack the rabbits. So they typically don't ever lay down. And they typically don't, they never lay down. They don't lay down because if they lay down, it would take too much time if they have a threat, like an animal, to stand up, to get up. So my bunny rabbit, when I first got him, for the first few weeks, he didn't lie down. And he would stand up, and he was very social. From when I first got him, he was very friendly, and he wanted to be held, but he never actually laid on his side. Mm-hmm. And little by little, as I began to bond with Sly, that's his name, as Sly and I began to bond and as we spent more time together, he actually started to lay down near me. So first it started off where he would lay down on his side, and then if he saw me coming, he would stand up. And then I was able to get a little closer where I could be on the opposite side of the room. and then I could actually be sitting next to him. And now, you know, it was much to my dismay in the beginning, but I've learned to love it. He actually lays down on top of me in the middle of the night. He actually sleeps in my bed, and he lays down, and he actually uses me as a pillow. He puts his head on my chest or on my arm, or sometimes he puts his head on my chin, and he sleeps completely laid down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this may seem, well, where are you going with this, right? This is an animal, and his primal instinct is to protect himself from physical threat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as a rabbit, even a rabbit was able to unlearn that primal instinct and was able to learn to love, that was able to learn to trust. And I think that ultimately, a lot of times, fear, as from entrepreneurs, fear from people who want to change their lives, fear from people who are not happy with where they are. They want to be successful in something that they don't think they're already successful in. I say think because, you know, oftentimes it is really about what we think. You know, the truth is it comes down to not trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of that fear that's not serving us comes from. It just comes from a lack of trust of ourselves, of our ability to make decisions, as you said earlier, a trust of where we are, a trust that we're on our purpose, that we're on our path, that God is leading us in the right direction, and that everything we're doing is for a greater purpose.
Right.
So
I totally agree.
Yeah. So where I used to think that the opposite of fear is love, and I think loving ourselves and loving others is a big part of it, I think really the opposite of having fear about failure and fear that you're going to make decisions is really trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, and that's a big part of what I teach is that, you know, we learn from a young age how to not trust for a variety of reasons. And as we get older, it's like, you know, there could be 100 things in our lives, 99 of them positive and one of them negative. And I'm talking perceived positive and perceived negative, but we won't get into that language because, you know, I know a lot of people think of things in positive and negative. But we're going to focus on that one negative thing. That's just kind of how our minds are wired, and it's the same thing. So we could have all this evidence to support that we can trust ourselves, that we make good decisions, that we always land on our feet, that things are always going to be okay, and yet we still are going to, you know, be kind of drawn in more towards thinking, oh, well, what if this doesn't work out? And what if I'm not going to be okay? And what if I end up on the street? And what if, you know, just the what ifs can really do a number on us.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. You know, a lot of people live in the what if.
Mm-hmm.
And the what if can really get you caught up.
It really can.
And you know, those, they just harbor fear. You know, I used to live in what if. But now, you know, I live in why not. You know, there's no need to even put the worry out there. Yeah, it's going to be there. Yeah, you might do it. You know, that might be your nature. But you have to push forward and do what is right for you for what your purpose is.
Right. Absolutely. And I also like to tell people, instead of saying what if on the negative side, is what if on the positive side. So what if I am okay? What if everything does turn out okay? And we're not used to thinking those ways, but it's kind of another, you know, well, why not? You know, it's also, well, what if? Or I wonder, you know, what would happen if this happened, and kind of more of a childhood wonder and excitement kind of thing.
Yes, you know, as we're talking about this topic, I know that you have something coming up where they can hear more about it. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I would love to. I am launching a new program on June 1st, and it's part of my new brand, which is called Get Out of Your Own Damn Way, which very much fits into the whole fear whisperer stuff that I'm doing. And it's called the 30-Day Get Out of Your Own Damn Way Challenge, where people will get 30 days of support from me, including an individual coaching call where we'll talk about your goals for the 30 days. We're going to have a class on what gets in your way, what to look for, and how to get out of your own way. We're going to have a group support call, and then a follow-up call. And then throughout the 30 days, I'm going to be providing daily email inspirations to everyone as well. So they're going to get 3.5 hours of live support with me plus 30 days of email support as well. And so that I'm really excited to help people get out of their own way with this new launch.
And how would they find that?
They can find that on my website. And oh, I forgot to mention, this is all virtual, so people can participate anywhere. They don't. It's nowhere to be except for those live calls. But it's at www.krylyn.com. Let me spell my name, krylyn.com/30-day-challenge. And 30 is the number 30. So it's www.krylyn.com/30-day-challenge.
Wonderful. And do they contact you if they want more information via website or Facebook or telephone?
Absolutely, yes. Probably the best way to get in touch with me is email. It's krylyn@krylyn.com. So again, krylyn@krylyn.com. I also have my Facebook page, which is Krylyn Peters, Get Out of Your Own Damn Way. And then my phone number is 602-696-8699.
Wow, that is great. I know that this program is going to be beneficial to a lot of people. And,
yes,
you know,
I certainly
thank
hope
you,
so.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
And now, you know, we're near the hour. And so if you had to sum up all that you said tonight about fear for our audience, what would it be?
Wow, that's a big question. I would say just to know that fear is a part of change and that it's okay, and also to just breathe. So there's a wonderful quote that I love, which is, fear is excitement without breath. So if you remember to breathe and remember that fear is going to accompany any change, then that's a really good start to working towards being less fearful.
Wow, that is powerful, Krylyn. That is powerful. What a wonderful summary. Now,
oh, thank you.
You're most welcome. Now, if you were touched by something Krylyn said tonight, you can find this podcast on changeyourmindsonline.com. We're also on TuneIn, Stitcher, Podomatic, iTunes, and, of course, YouTube. So, Jessica, do you have any closing words for our listeners tonight?
You know what? I think you summed it up perfectly. Thank you so much for being on our call. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yes, me too. Thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely. You know, we always let all of our listeners know before we close out our calls. We love you. You know, we are so grateful that you are allowing us to be part of your journey. You know, we know that you're doing amazing things, that you're taking your life to a whole new level. We are so proud of you. You know, really want you to just congratulate yourself for even taking the time out to listen to this call tonight, either live or listening to it in podcast mode. I know there's other things you can be listening to, and we're just so grateful that you're trusting us tonight. So, you know, we love you. God bless. Make it a really, really powerful week, and we look forward to being with you on our Thursday night call. Have a great night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.